The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. We begin with our Impact segment as always, each hour. If you're a new listener, Impact is 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. I want to start this hour talking a little bit about Amy Coney Barrett. If you care to weigh in, you can call. Phone lines are wide open, 888-528-2557. Venture to guess, all of you know, last night, Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed as the next Supreme Court justice by a vote of 52-48. She took her constitutional oath during the ceremony from Justice Clarence Thomas. And she's the fifth woman on the high court and actually the first mother of school-aged children to serve. She previously served as a judge on the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, a law professor at Notre Dame University. She said during her confirmation hearings, she is personally pro-life, although she said, quote, it is the job of a judge to resist her policy preferences, end quote. So what is it about Amy Coney Barrett now on the Supreme Court that people are having a meltdown about? Whether it's the left, whether it's the media, we're going to talk about both for a few moments. Now, again, because something is stated as true doesn't make it so. I hearken back to the time by which a great man, one of our greatest, Booker T. Washington, said a lie doesn't become truth. Wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by a majority. But last night, oh my goodness, it's as if the most horrendous, most horrible thing has happened. Amy Coney Barrett is now a member of the U.S. Supreme Court. Last night, members of the Democrat Party. I mean, Ilhan Omar, Ocasio-Cortez, no surprise there, right? They're screaming, expand the court. And who cares about the American citizens? Much recent polling has found that the overwhelming majority of Americans supported confirming Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. 28% of the public opposed her confirmation. Even 27% support the idea of partisan court packing. And yet, that's not what the left is talking about now. And there was a time when I was a progressive Democrat. I really believe this nonsense. I thank God that he took the scales off my eyes. And they no longer represent the Democrat Party to me. Listen to some of the response last night. Let's start with Kamala Harris, right? She made threatening remarks last night. Quote, today Republicans denied the will of the American people. Really? What will? The small minority that fall lock, stock, and barrel behind your radical policies? Confirming a Supreme Court justice through an illegitimate process. It's like they all got their talking points in the word illegitimate. Say that. Illegitimate. Illegitimate. Just because they say it doesn't mean it's true. And then she said all in their effort to gut the Affordable Care Act and strip health care for millions with pre-existing conditions. Right? They live on fear, on lies. Yeah, right. Okay, so Donald Trump somehow, because he's got Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court now, the right's got this rigged, and you're going to lose your health care. Do you really believe this? Are you just kind of fed up? I get emails from people that's saying, I've voted Democrat my whole life. I'm done. You wouldn't know this by the way the mainstream media reports these stories, but I think their idea of reality does not align with true reality in a lot of ways. Then there's Nancy Pelosi, right? She took to the TV last night. Well, we may pack the Supreme Court and district courts. Quote, should we expand the courts? Let's take a look and see. Maybe we need more district courts as well. Good Lord. In a statement, Pelosi claimed that Barrett's confirmation was, quote, a usurped Supreme Court seat, end quote. Claimed that President Donald Trump manipulated the Supreme Court. Huh? You have any evidence? No, we just throw it out there. Illegitimate manipulation. Senator Elizabeth Warren, she got the same talking points. Falsely claimed that Barrett's confirmation of the Supreme Court was, quote, illegitimate. Senator Chris Coons of Delaware lamented the fact that President Trump has appointed hundreds of federal judges. Boy, horrible, horrible. Oh, yeah, well, on the side of factual truth, it doesn't matter that President Obama appointed many more judges than the president has done so far. We're not interested in facts. Then there's the media. Here's a little commentary from a website I like. And, oh, yeah, I'm going to say the name of the website, and you're going to go, well, there you are. Redstate.com. You think you know where they're coming from? You have objections? You have issues? Tell me what part of this you disagree with. Headline. Meltdown City. CNN covers itself in wrong kind of glory over ACB's constitutional oath ceremony. Just as they did when news broke of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death in September, Democrats and their mainstream media allies went into full meltdown mode as Amy Coney Barrett took her constitutional oath at the White House earlier this evening. There was no better example of the meltdown mindset than on the set of CNN, where anchors Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon sat in a pouty, sour-faced way, agitated over the proceedings. Cuomo spent a good majority of his time on air not talking about her, not talking about her position, her platform. Instead, he whined about how the event was supposedly dangerously irresponsible on the part of the Trump administration. Why? Did you hear this? Here's another word that they've gotten, and you hear it everywhere now. They even put the chyron up. Are you ready? That the swearing in of Amy Coney Barrett could end up being another super spreader, like the Rose Garden nomination ceremony supposedly was. Super spreader. I can go on and on. It's pretty scathing, this commentary, I might add. Do you disagree? Do you think somehow, do you watch CNN? I don't watch any mainstream. For the record, I don't watch Fox. I watch Tucker Carlson. That's it. So if you want to put me in a nice little square box, it's not going to work. I think most of the mainstream, they have their own agenda they push forward. The thing I like about Tucker Carlson, he's very thought-provoking. So let's put a nice bow on this box. And on the other side, we'll talk a little bit about the cowards out there, the threats that may come if Trump gets elected again. But let's go back to last night. You know the story the mainstream media doesn't want to touch? You know, the Russian story of infiltration and lies and smears and the Hunter Biden laptop that somehow doesn't exist, or, I mean, he tried to get it back. His lawyer tried to get it back. They've got photos. Videos were leaked over the weekend. Where do you think these videos are coming from? And I agree with the statement, it's not really about Hunter Biden so much, it's about Joe Biden. Has there been now, after 3.5 years of investigations, collusion, Russia, Ukraine, impeachment, it's kind of ironic, the very people that are screaming wolf are the ones that it seems like we got some goods on them. Kimberly Strassel was on Tucker Carlson last night. I think just from an informational position, this is important to listen to. And if you think this isn't important, I'd love to have a dialogue with you about this. And because the mainstream media says it doesn't exist, it's Russia, it's a smear campaign, doesn't make it true.
As of tonight, what do we know about this story? Tony Babulinski has produced a lot of documents. Kim Strassel has read them. She's with the Wall Street Journal. She's laid this out very clearly, more than anyone else. She joins us tonight. Kim, thanks a lot for coming on. What do we know as of right now?
Okay, well, I think this story has two parts. The first one is Hunter. And the important part about this, when you read these texts and emails, is that up until now, you know, we knew about this shady Ukraine deal, and the assumption was that Hunter had been hired because of his dad, right? He didn't have any oil or gas experience. But now we know that that's exactly what was happening in this deal, because he brags about it. We have texts and emails in which all of these partners are saying, you know, we ought to be keeping more of the money here for the people that are actually doing the work. By the way, that's not Hunter. You know, we ought to be doing, what does Hunter bring to this? And then Hunter, in a rage, coming in saying, don't you understand? I am the deal. People are only doing this because they want the Biden name. This is my family legacy. You got one partner also saying, you know, to Tony Babulinski, look, I know for a fact the Chinese want this because of Hunter, and that's why it's worth so much money. That's called influence peddling. That's called access to important people. And that gets us to the second part of the story, which is Joe Biden.
This meeting, and this is going to be the topic, one of the topics of our conversation with Tony Babulinski tomorrow, but this meeting that he says he had with Joe Biden, from what we can tell, took place. It's real. He met with Joe Biden. Can you think of any reason that Joe Biden would meet with an investment guy called Tony Babulinski if it wasn't about business?
Look, this is all real. Can I just say that the smear argument, a smear is when you make something up, okay?
Yes.
This is now beyond a shadow of the doubt. The Wall Street Journal, both its news site and its editorial page, have made clear this deal happened, okay? These emails are out there, and Joe was involved with this. The question is, to what degree? Now, Tony Babulinski and the emails and texts suggest that there was indeed a meeting. We also have this piece of paper that laid out what was supposed to be the equity holdings in this coming company. It says 20% to Hunter, and then it says, you know, maybe Hunter is going to hold 10% in addition for the big guy. Tony Babulinski says that that is Joe Biden. Now, the Biden campaign has not denied any of this. It hasn't answered any questions
on
this, but it raises some big things. Joe Biden has said, first and foremost, that he doesn't discuss business with his son, that he never has.
So
I mean, this is a guy who's running on character and judgment. He should have to answer this question about whether or not he was honest, beside the question of whether or not he was actually debating going into business with a Chinese company with ties to the government and military.
We have photographs of Joe Biden with Hunter and Hunter's clients, including a mogul from Kazakhstan. I mean, he brought Hunter with him to China as vice president and introduced him around. I mean, this has been chronicled over many years. It's not like we just learned all of this. But the press is pretending like, oh, it's not true. The same people who wrote these stories 5 years ago are now pretending they don't know what we're talking about. It's, in one sentence, have you ever seen anything like this where the entire American media decides to lie as a group about something?
No, you know, for 2 weeks they told us, prove it that it's true. We just showed that it's true, and now they say there's nothing there to see.
It's, yeah, there could be huge ramifications, I would say, from this kind of behavior long term. Kim Strassel, thank you for your bravery on this story, because you have been brave, I think.
Thank you.
By the way, tonight in real time, 45 minutes on Tucker Carlson, Tony Bobolini will be his guest, in part, maybe answering some tough questions and giving information. By the way, I tweeted Tony Bobolini. I got in trouble on Twitter. They don't want people to know those two words. I did it on Facebook. I got a warning. Can't spread false information. What an amazing time. The election is 1 week away. Here's the last story about the elections. Then we'll move on to something else. The cowards are screaming the loudest right now. Christian Headlines reports this story. With the 2020 presidential election just 1 week away, protesters are planning to do whatever it takes to see President Trump leave office, no matter the outcome of the election. So even if he wins, no, he's got to go. The group known as Shutdown DC has outlined what they plan to do on Election Day and in the days to follow. According to CBN News, the group claims that Trump plans to steal the election. He's going to steal the election. Okay. And will not concede if he loses. From their very website, quote, Trump has shown that he will stop at nothing to maintain his grip on power. Trump will not leave office without mass mobilization and direct action. What world do these people live in? I'll read on from their website. We're inviting everybody who agrees with these organizing principles to work together to make this uprising happen. It's an uprising. We're going to make sure Trump leaves. From election night on, as the situation changes and evolves, we all work together to make that happen. End quote. Group also told followers who are not in D.C. to likewise take action in their own communities. Quote, organize in your community. Find out where the votes will be counted where you live. Make a plan with others to get there and stay until all the votes are counted. Come up with a plan to create serious disruption if Trump really tries to steal the election, end quote. Additionally, Shutdown D.C. created a, quote, call to action on November 4th through 7th, as they plan to, quote, do whatever it takes. These people are fools. Listen to this. Quote, in the days following the election, we'll continue to come out into the streets every day to respond to rapidly changing events. We may be waiting for votes to be counted, or we may be responding to major attacks on democracy. Like you? Like what you do? Over the next few weeks, we'll use our spokes council to plan actions that are flexible and can scale to respond to a lot of different scenarios, end quote. Very impressive. Then on November 8th through 11th, they stated there will be a, quote, no more business as usual time. They say they plan to meet with Congress members. Quote, if Trump is trying to launch a coup, that's no time for business as usual. The group's website went on to say, we'll meet them at the train station or the airports. Or if they drive into town, we can meet them at their homes. And if Trump has already conceded, then we can pivot and use these actions to demand COVID-19 relief and other essential legislation, end quote. Finally, according to CBN News, the group also offers multiple ways for its members to receive training on the timeline to a meltdown simulation. Escalating resistance in times of crisis and direct action. Recently, Shutdown DC protested outside of Senator Lindsey Graham's home in light of the Judge Amy Coney Barrett Supreme Court nomination. You may have seen some of the video. Quote, we protested outside Lindsey Graham's DC residence because he's undermining democracy by jamming through another right-wing Supreme Court justice, end quote. These people are fools. And actually, I believe what it's causing, it's mobilizing people that have a sense of logic and understand the importance of preserving freedom and so much of what's at stake here. They're mobilizing people. They're going to become their own worst enemy. I'm convinced. Now, I'm not so sure how things are going to turn out, but I don't remember in 2016 the amount of people turning out for Trump rallies like we're seeing now. Right here in California, you know, this blue state that will never change, and we've got Governor Newsom. God help us, recall Governor Newsom, please. How many people in California are going to vote red? It's going to be really interesting to see. And I have no reason, and I have no interest in pouring into any kind of conspiracy like this won't be a legitimate election, even though I have concerns. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And 1 week from today, in a matter of hours, the evening of November the 3rd, are we going to have an announcement? Probably not. We'll see. And quite honestly, a lot can happen between now and then. But what a time, my goodness gracious, where people are undone that Amy Coney Barrett got on the Supreme Court. It's been 90 years since, at least in perception, the Supreme Court is conservatively in the majority. 90 years. Nine decades. So, oh well, I mean, oh my goodness. But I know, for 90 years, the Republicans have been yelling and screaming and protesting and doing all sorts of participation in the uprising to speak out against the way the Supreme Court was against conservative values, right? How many of you know who Charles Duke Tanner is? I suspect nobody knew who he was till just recently. And if you still don't know who he is, you need to know who he is. We'll share that amazing story next. We also have open phone lines, 888-528-2557. Your calls are welcome here on the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. In a few moments, we're going to talk about recent release of a man who had served more than 20 years of his life in prison for a nonviolent drug offense. First drug offense. His name is Charles Duke Tanner. Also, you got to love the story out of Grace Community Church. You may have seen the LA Times story last Thursday talking about an outbreak. Three people have tested positive. Well, Grace Community and its legal team had a response, and I love the terminology they use. It's part of the theme here because someone says it's true doesn't make it true. Let's take a few calls first. Jimmy in North Hills. Jimmy, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
How you doing, Frank?
Good.
Great. Yeah, no, I wanted to respond to what you were talking about, everything that's going on and how the media is not talking about anything. Well, I've been telling my kids, you know, they're all grown now. I'm a grandpa. But it's like, if you've never seen Satan at work, you're seeing it now. You have Kamala Harris coming out and saying, you know, all you Trump supporters, we're going to find you. We're going to let you have it. You see Maxine Waters coming out. If you see them, just, you know, disrupt them. Do whatever you can. I've always told my kids, there's a good and there's an evil. Think about what you're going to say and think about where it's coming from. If it's evil, it sure ain't coming from God. And if it's good, obviously you're spreading some goodness from the, from God. But when you're saying things like that, it's only coming from one place. But the thing that they don't understand is that Satan himself doesn't even like them. He hates them. But yet, it's like a drug addict. You don't know what you're doing when you're doing it. And here they are saying all this stuff. And he and at the end of the day, he doesn't even care about them.
Well, that's true. Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate your call. Stephen LaHabra, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes, Frank. I would just like to ask a question to those who call themselves Christians. That I think it's by name only that they call themselves Christian, because I don't believe they understand the Word of God. I don't know what churches they attend to. But my question really is this, is that what qualifies Joe Biden to be president of the United States when he has really done nothing that he can say he could override Donald Trump, what he has done already? I just don't understand where he's coming from. I don't think he is intelligent enough, smart enough, or knowledgeable enough to be a leader of this nation. And if we have him as a leader of this nation, we have become a very weak nation. And I think you're going to destroy all the good things that Donald Trump has done already.
Steve, I thank you for your call. What qualifies Joe Biden to run for president? Well, anybody can, with a few requirements, age, etc. He's a 47-year career politician. But it's very interesting because oftentimes he attacks President Trump like, what's he running on? Logical, well-reasoned people can ask themselves, well, if you really take a look at the Biden-Harris ticket and what they run on, at least what they've stated, it's pretty radical. It's way out there. One of the biggest accusations is, and I think it was in the last debate, Biden said right at the beginning, 220,000 people have died. Your father, your sister, you go home and the bed's empty, and you heard him say this dramatic scenario. It's like, this man is not qualified to run this country. Okay, so what are you going to do? And Trump even put it back. So what's your position? Same thing. What? Mandatory mask wearing? He held the mask. 100,000 people's lives will be saved with a mask. Really? Show me some science on that one. By the way, there is a new Lancet study that has to do with hydroxychloroquine. Guess what? Effective for outpatients with COVID-19. That's a story for another time. But they attacked the president, and what's their position as it applies to the coronavirus? Mandatory mask wearing and more economic shutdowns and lockdowns? You're for that? That's the answer? My goodness, God help us. The legal team of Grace Community Church are responding to reports that there's been a COVID-19 outbreak at Grace Community. Again, the LA Times last Thursday reported, quote, coronavirus outbreak strikes LA megachurch that defied public health orders. It's quite a headline. And then you read the story, come to find out three people. Jenna Ellis, attorney for Grace Community, said, quote, those cases shouldn't be characterized as an outbreak. She said the LA Times headline, grossly misleading. Do you think? Quote, three very mild positive tests among more than 7,000 people is hardly news. Less than 1% is not an outbreak. Ellis continued, it has never been the church's position that it is only safe to hold services if no one ever tests positive or, for example, if no one ever gets the flu during flu season, end quote. L.A. County health protocols for places of worship require, in this case, Grace Community report to the Department of Health when at least 3 cases of coronavirus are reported within a span of 14 days. L.A. Superior Court judge last month on September the 10th granted a preliminary injunction against Grace, prohibiting Pastor MacArthur from holding indoor worship services. However, they continue to hold in-person services. County says, quote, these types of large gatherings jeopardize the county's efforts to control the spread of the virus and keep people safe. Parties cannot violate court orders with which they don't agree, end quote. According to Ellis's statement, the county is being selective in whom it restricts. Do you think? Quote, L.A. County shutting down churches indefinitely amid a virus with a 99.98% survival rate, especially when state-preferred businesses are open and protests are held without restriction, is unconstitutional and harmful to the free exercise of religion, end quote. Speaking of some of those mandates, here's a fun one. Listen to this scathing editorial. California is one of the most beautiful states in the union. Over the course of a few hours, you can go from beaches to ski slopes, and the weather is pretty great as well. But there's no doubt it's horribly run from a governmental perspective. Right now, Gavin Newsom is leading one of the dumbest, most anti-science coronavirus responses in the nation as his state continues to set records for total infections. And not content with the current lack of progress, the governor decided to just go with a full dystopian nightmare for the holidays. Enter California's new Thanksgiving COVID restrictions per Newsweek. I don't need to go into them. You know, I'm sure, I hope, some of them pretty well known. This op-ed piece says it gets worse, but I want to stop to comment here. California's government is actually trying to police how you go to the restroom in your own home. Think about how absolutely insane this is. As part of the restriction for Thanksgiving, if you don't know, attendees, quote, must go inside to use restrooms as long as the restrooms are frequently sanitized, end quote. The writer of this piece says, what if the restrooms aren't frequently sanitized? What qualifies as such anyway? Also, part of the new mandate, you got to wear masks outside with your family. New rules state that those at a gathering, quote, may remove their face coverings briefly to eat or drink as long as they stay at least 6 feet apart from everyone outside in their own household and put their face covering back on as soon as they are done with the activity, end quote. It's not enough that the evidence for masking continues to be absolutely limited to the point where any real correlation between wearing one and infection rates doesn't appear to exist. These little tyrants in blue states want you to literally wear a mask while inside of your own home with your own family. And just in case you thought it couldn't get any more absurd, Newsom also wants you to know that playing wind instruments and singing are, quote, strongly discouraged, end quote. The official line from the mandate, quote, singing, chanting, shouting, physical exertion significantly increases the risk of COVID-19 transmission. Musicians are allowed at gatherings, but they must be from one of the 3 households. The playing of any wind instruments, parentheses, those that are played by the mouth, such as a trumpet or clarinet, end parentheses, are strongly discouraged. Last part of this commentary, This is liberalism run amok. There are no limits to the control these people will attempt to seize. We've now reached the point where citizens are told they can't sing in their own homes while celebrating the holidays. Of great importance is to recognize this is exactly what a Joe Biden-led country will look like. The former vice president has repeatedly said he will hand over total control to people like Dr. Fauci, who is now wanting a national mask mandate that could last until 2022. Newsom's quote-unquote scientists are cut from the exact same cloth, and it's just a matter of time before Biden's CDC would be adopting these same types of insane restrictions, only on a national level. This was never about science. It's about politics and control. No counterfactuals need apply. And you're going to vote for Joe Biden. 888-528-2557. If you'd like to call, we have open lines. 888-528-2557. We'll continue to talk a little bit about Charles Duke Tanner. And also a story about the Satanic Temple that I have had for a few weeks, and now is the time to share it with you. That and much more next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. A little John Popper and Blues Travelers for you. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Couple stories first out of Arkansas. The Satanic Temple is suing an advertising company after the business refused to display billboards suggesting abortion is a ritual. According to CBN News, the Satanic Temple is suing Lamar Advertising in an Arkansas state court, accusing the company of religious discrimination. The group says the business will not display 8 billboards in Arkansas and Indiana. The billboards describe a ritual as a, quote, sacramental act that confirms the right of bodily autonomy, end quote. Billboards were to be displayed near pro-life pregnancy centers. In one billboard design, a bowl of cake batter is shown with the text, quote, not a cake. A second image on the billboard is of a sperm and an egg with the text, not a baby. The billboard said, quote, our religious abortion ritual averts many state restrictions, end quote. In another proposed billboard, a woman holds a tiny Adolf Hitler with a text, quote, what if abortion had been an option, end quote. Again, the design referred to abortion as a ritual. Lamar rejects the design, saying they were, quote, misleading and offensive. But the Satanic Temple has argued that a satanic ritual is a religious right that may be exempt from state laws and regulations. We will see what the court says in Arkansas. And President Trump has pardoned Charles Duke Tanner because his life imprisonment sentence was nonviolent in a first offense drug charge. If you don't know the story, Tanner was imprisoned under Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's 1994 crime bill, which landed millions of black Americans in the prison system. In a video shown on Twitter, Tanner thanked President Trump and credited God with his pardon. He said, quote, first and foremost, I want to give all the praise and glory to God. He said, thank you for hearing me. But President Trump, I just want to thank you for giving me a second chance and believing in me and reading my petition. I am so thankful, end quote. This is not the first time President Trump has worked to release men and women from prison. After consulting with Kanye West and others, Trump implemented far-reaching prison reforms that worked to upend many problems in the prison system. Dubbed the First Step Act, the Bureau of Prisons outlined how it removed policies that were quite troubling, to say the least. There's many specifics listed, of which I don't have the need to share. And for those of you that can't stand this guy, and boy, he's a white supremacist, and Joe Biden said in the first debate, he does this dog whistle thing. In case you're interested in facts at all, President Trump has also designated the KKK a terror organization, and he's pledged to provide $500 billion of relief funding to Black American communities. A little more than 10 minutes, or a little less than 10 minutes, depending on what your clock says, Tony Bobulinski is going to be on Tucker Carlson. I'm not going to miss that. I'm sure we'll have some audio tomorrow. By the way, on the program tomorrow, Pastor David Haig from Grace Community in Santa Clarita is my guest at 3. He's written a piece for The Signal on disagreement. Very powerful. And then at 4 o'clock, for those of you that have emailed me and are concerned about what's going on in Armenia, Albert Chukwudaryan will be my guest in studio talking about the plight in Armenia. And then Thursday, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to have on Thursday. We've got guests all week long. You're always welcome to email me at franksontag@kkla.com for any guest suggestions or anything else you want to share about the program. I want to close in prayer. And you're welcome to join me or not. Father God, we are in a time in our country, as you know, in your divine sovereignty. Things are, well, fallen and sinful. Father, please forgive us. Those of us that say Jesus is Lord, forgive us. And I pray you will continue to work on the hearts and souls of non-believers. But we as self-identified Christians, we are the ones to repent. Father, forgive us and guide us in the time we have. Please reach those who are blinded by the lies and the spirit of deception and disruption. I pray the very scales from their eyes you will remove as you remove Paul after his Damascus Road encounter with you. Father, we know that whoever gets elected, Jesus is Lord. But I pray that you will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, convict those that self-identify as Christians to understand that you give us a manual in the Bible, and that if we don't read it, if we're not biblically literate, I pray that you will rebuke us in the way in which you serve and seek and mete out justice. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, and we thank you for the very power that you give us right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, those of us that have given our lives to you. May we seek everything we do for your glory. Please show us the way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow for more of this, The Frank Sontag Show.